Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, this is Rick, and a warm welcome to today's episode of the On Purpose Show. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Rick. Great to be here with you as usual. And we have another great episode today. Today's title is Listful Thinking. Are you a list maker, Rick?
I am. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with lists. So I always make lists. Sometimes they drive me nuts. But this whole topic about productivity is one that's been in mind for me lately, and how to really use my energy more effectively towards my purpose. So I'm looking forward very much to diving into this with you today and our guest.
Yeah, and our guest today is Paula Rizzo, and she is the author of Listful Thinking, Using Lists to Be More Productive, Highly Successful, and Less Stressed. And Paula is a broadcast journalist and, as I've said, the author of Listful Thinking. She's the senior health producer for Fox News Channel in New York City, and she's the founder of listproducer.com. She's also an Emmy Award winner, and she attributes much of her success to her compulsive list making. She's also the author of an e-book titled 10 Lists Every Mom Needs. And she is with us today from New York City. Hi, Paula. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. What a lovely introduction. I'm so happy to be with you both.
Well, we're really excited to have you here with us. And we're interested in hearing your story, turning points in your life that have led to your journey of a life work that's filled with passion and purpose.
Sure. Well, you know, as you said, I am a TV producer by day, so that's my day job, and I am, you know, very passionate about it. I've always been sort of a news junkie and have really dove into that world and really enjoyed it and loved it. It's very high-paced and, you know, perfect for my deadline-oriented type personality. And, you know, I've been doing this for quite some time, and I make lots and lots of lists at work, and I never really thought anything about it. And then as a producer, you're almost like a ghostwriter, you know. And so you prepare a lot of the research, you write a lot of the scripts, and then a reporter or an anchor will take that copy and, you know, read it. And so it'll be their voice, their face on it. And no one will ever know who the producer behind the story was for the most part. And that's been completely and totally fine with me. I had actually talked for a while with a person who was an on-air person about writing a book together. And, you know, we had this great idea. I would ghostwrite it for her, and, you know, we would put it together, and I was excited about it. And then it didn't work out. And so I was really, really upset. And then I said, you know what? Why couldn't I just do that on my own? You know, couldn't there be something? What am I very passionate about? That I could talk to, you know, endlessly and help people with. And it's funny because I never thought that I would write a book about lists. That was never, you know, never my intention. I always wanted to write a book at some point in my life. I just never knew this would be it. And what happened was I was looking for an apartment actually here in New York City with my husband, and we were, you know, looking around and couldn't find anything, and I was so overwhelmed, and every place I would walk into I just, you know, would see something shiny and get distracted and then totally forget why I was in there or what I was supposed to be looking at. And then we would leave and I would say, oh, was that the one that was on the fourth floor, or was that on the 10th floor, and did that have the dishwasher? And I just didn't know anything. And so when I instead wrote a checklist, like I would at work, of all of the things that I wanted to focus on when I walked through the door. And, you know, everything on that list was like, does it have hardwood floors? What is the view like? What floor is it on? You know, all of these things. When I had that list, I was much more focused and driven when we were, you know, doing this project and looking for this apartment, and it became so much easier. And I gave the list to a friend of mine afterwards, because she was looking for an apartment, and her real estate broker loved it, thought it was like the best idea ever, because he said a lot of his clients are so unfocused and don't know what to look at or what to ask, so they need this sort of roadmap. And then she came back to me and said, you know, you're really onto something with your list making. You know, she's like, not everybody does this. This could be like your thing. You know, you could teach people how to do this. And I thought, huh, that thing that I was looking for, here it is. And I've been doing it all my life, you know. And so that's sort of, for me, that's kind of how this whole thing started. And my blog from there, you know, was born, listproducer.com. So that's almost about, yeah, it'll be 4 years. And then the book came from that.
I love that. Wonderful. It was a surprise because it was so close to you. I'm guessing it was kind of like breathing for you.
That's it. You know, I would never think, I thought everybody did this. You know, I didn't realize that people, you know, struggle with this sort of keeping things in order. Because for me, you're right. I mean, it's just something that I would use every day. And especially in a newscast, when I used to work in live TV, it's the only way you get through. You know, there's a rundown. You know every story, what's coming up next, how long it's going to be, how much time you have to get to it. And, you know, it's just, it's been the way that I've been living for a long time. And that's the story.
Now, and that someone else really saw the value of it and, you know, highlighted that for you. So let's start there. Just talk a little bit about all the different ways that list making can really make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, of course, making a to-do list. This is something that, you know, people have been doing forever, and it seems like that's, you know, list making 101. But there's so many other ways that you could use lists. I love gratitude lists, and I love to make pros and cons lists. You know, packing lists. I have endless lists of restaurants I want to try. There's so many different types of lists that could serve you in different ways, you know. And there could be like a bucket list, you know, something that you are looking at that you want to be able to accomplish in your life, you know. And I always tell people to keep those lists separate. So that's, you know, climbing Mount Everest and buying milk do not belong on the same list. It will just cloud your judgment and your focus.
And, you know, Rick had mentioned that he has a love-hate relationship with lists, and I can relate to that. And I remember my roommate from college would wind up making lists of lists.
Right.
She was so busy making the lists that oftentimes things wouldn't get done. What have you discovered are the biggest list-making mistakes that people make?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough one. That's hard that you spend more time, because, you know, at my core, I'm a big procrastinator. And so I find that lists really help me to kind of overcome that. But at the same time, you can use the list making as a procrastination tool. You know, it's like, oh, let me get back to rewriting that list again, you know, and so you don't actually do anything because you're busy writing that list. So one of the biggest issues, though, is that people will put way too much on the list. So for me, I like to make a daily list. So the night before I leave work every single night, I sit down and I think about what is tomorrow going to bring. You know, what are all the things I need to get accomplished? What emails do I need to write? What phone calls do I need to make? Emails, very specifically. And then I will write down each one of those things. And, you know, it could even be things that I do every week, but I just write them down just because distractions happen. Things pop up. But I'll have that list as a go-to to be able to get me back on track if I do get, you know, thrown off course a little bit. And so that's my rundown for the day. And I like to make it a daily list because then it's very focused. You know, it's short enough. I know exactly what I'm going to be able to accomplish tomorrow in the time frame that I have, you know. You know, I know a lot of people will make a weekly list or whatever it is. I find that really, if you take the list and make it shorter, bite-sized pieces, and you're very specific. So instead of saying, you know, go to the mall, what are you going to the mall for? You know, because you know the second you walk through the mall, you're going to see something fabulous and be like thrown off course, and then the gift for grandma that you were supposed to get never got bought. And you go home and you're like, oh, man, but, you know, this outfit looks awesome, but grandma has nothing. So I think just being able to focus yourself in that way so that it's just the work is almost done before you even get to it, so it's just really easy to just have a really focused list to say, what am I doing? Oh, that's right, I need to write back to Gail okay, let me write that email real quick, cross that off, get to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about times that I have gone to the supermarket without a list and out with shopping bags filled with food, but in a sense, really nothing to make for that night.
Right, totally. It happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering, so I make a list, and it's very specific. Do you have a suggestion about where to start on the list? I mean, certainly some things have to be done before others, but do you suggest start with something that's easy so that you can experience a sense of accomplishment? What's your thinking about where to begin?
There's a lot of productivity experts who will tell you, take on the biggest task first thing in the morning and just get it over with. I don't love that advice. I feel like you need to set yourself up for a little, get some momentum going, and set yourself up for small wins. So stuff that could be done, relatively quickly that you can check off the list and get done and then move on to the next thing. I like to do those things first because then I feel like, oh, look at me, so productive today. Get to the next thing, and so for me, I think that's a smarter play, but it also depends day by day, It depends on how long that bigger task is going to take you. If the big task is something like write a book, I mean, that's like insane. So you need to take that to do and chop it up into little bite-sized nuggets, bite-sized pieces, write an outline, come up with topic ideas, contact agents, whatever it is that you need to do within that big framework of write a book needs to be sort of chopped up into little pieces. So even when I was writing this book, I had very specific tasks for myself every single day. So it was research chapter 2. Okay, then the next day would be rewrite chapter 2 or copy edit chapter 2 or, so just to have yourself be kind of focused.
Love that. I like that you did a whole, I think it's the last chapter of your book, about kind of the electronic side of this. And I know that apps around list making are some of the most popular ones out there. I would love to hear what your favorite apps in productivity, list making apps are.
Sure. Well, I have to tell you, I was sort of a last minute person to the digital world because I love to make my list by hand. And I still do for the most part. And I was very anti-smartphone. I thought, I don't need it. My phone rings fine when you need me. Was I wrong? I was so wrong. My phone has become like an amazing, buddy that I need to have at all times now to help me get through the day. And apps are just pretty amazing, but it's so easy to get overwhelmed because there's so many of them. And what happens a lot of time is you'll try one, and then maybe it won't work for you, and then you think, oh, all apps are terrible. I don't like these apps. That's that. But I say give yourself like 2 weeks with each app and try only one at a time instead of, let me download all 5 of these from this article and try them, Really give it a go. So for me, my best favorite app that I use every single day is Evernote. And a lot of people have told me, I can't get into Evernote. It doesn't work for me. I just don't get it. And I say give that a second try because Evernote is like a second brain. Everything that you need to remember, you can just put it into Evernote and then it's searchable. So you don't have to remember anything anymore, And so this is anything like travel information or recipes. You can make lists in there too. I don't make a ton of lists in Evernote, but you can. You can share your lists or share your notes with other people and collaborate on stuff. That's good for like trips or if you're working on a project and you can clip all kinds of articles for people to read and look at. I just find it to be so helpful to have a second brain to put stuff so that I'm not worried about, I'm going to forget it, And I would say if you've tried Evernote and you don't like it, try it again. And I would say try it on the desktop, on the website version first. And then the more stuff that you put into it and the more stuff that you're keeping, the more folders and things, that notebooks that you have, then you can go over to the actual app on the phone. And then it becomes more useful. I find to try from the beginning of just using it on your phone, it doesn't work as well. So I think that may be a good fix for people who sort of struggled with it. Another one that I really like is called Wunderlist. And that is pretty strictly a to-do list. You know, you could put your grocery list in there, or your to-dos. You could set alarms. You could share them with people. And I like that one. That one's pretty solid. And, you know, I do talk a lot about outsourcing, and there's a lot of apps to outsource things like, you know, TaskRabbit or Fancy Hands. And those are both sort of like, you know, personal assistant type things. And that I find very helpful as well.
You know, we'll add some of those apps or links to them on our blog post after our interview. Make it easy. I know that Wunderlist is spelled a little different, so people might not find it as easy, but it's Wunderlist.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
There are some people who just think that they're not organized at all, and they're always misplacing things, can't remember things. How can they be successful with lists?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things for me is just the habit and the regimen that I have, you know. So having it be a nightly task every night that I make that list. You know, having that be a conscious effort that's something I have to do before I leave. And if I don't do it and I come in the morning, I pretty much feel lost. I feel like, wait, what is my plan for the day? What do I need to do? So I really have kind of trained myself to use that tool. And so I think for people who are struggling, I think you need to look at it as that sort of, you know, that sort of thing. One of the other things is to keep things in the same place. I always know where I'm going to find things because I always leave it in the same place. You know, keys are always in the exact same place. When I come in, and, you know, from work, I leave them right there. They're, you know, on a hook in my closet. That's always where they are. You know, those type of things as far as, like, not having to, you know, do this extra work to find the things that you need to be organized, like a notepad. I keep my notepad in the same place every single day so that I know exactly where it is, you know. So just those type of things to set yourself up for success, it's so important to be able to just do that before you, you know, even take on trying to, you know, be more organized. These little things that you set into motion mean so much.
We've been talking mostly about to-do lists and productivity. Something I liked in your book is where you talk about the difference between, you know, how checklists are different and maybe some other type of lists. So say a little bit more about that.
Sure. So checklists are very, very useful in getting a specific task accomplished. And so airline pilots use checklists very often. I mean, the airline pilot that I spoke to, he told me that they use about 13 checklists from beginning to end on a flight. And, you know, it really details every single step of the way what needs to get done. And I find that, you know, here's people who are really, you know, highly accomplished, very skilled people. But stuff happens. Distractions pop up. And having that roadmap to be able to go back to be able to say, okay, this is the system that gets me from A to B. This is how I'm going to be a success, is by following this list. And let me go through all of these things, and then you'll have the same outcome every single time. So, you know, for people who have their own business, you know, or any kind of systems in place, I feel like checklists are really helpful when you bring new people on so that you can say, hey, this is the you know, format. This is how we do this, or this is, you know, the best way to get this or that done. And then you don't have to sit and, like, retrain the person. They can work through the steps themselves. Doctors also, surgeons, use checklists in the OR. And, again, these are, you know, highly trained people who know what they're doing, very smart, and, you know, they do this all the time. But mistakes happen. And they have the World Health Organization put together a checklist so that mistakes don't happen as often. And, you know, things on the list include, you know, check the patient for allergies, make sure you're, you know, have identified the correct patient, those type of things. It seemed like a no-brainer, and it seems like, of course that would happen, but a million things are going on, and, you know, people's focus gets pulled from here to here to here. And so if you have this guideline to be able to just bring you through the whole process, and take some of the guesswork out of it and just be able to identify the things that are really important, it's so helpful in so many ways.
These are such great suggestions. I'm remembering a list. I think this is a kind of checklist that years ago I had a boyfriend, and his former wife had been a librarian, and she had made a list, a supermarket list, based on what was in different aisles.
I love it.
So you could go up and down the various aisles, and there'd be a list. I think this is so great. So let's say somebody wants to be more productive, wants to experience greater success and feel less stressed, but they really haven't been successful in terms of lists. What's a good starting point?
Well, I always tell people who are not big list people to just first make a life list, a bucket list, mm-hmm. because you know yourself better than anybody else. You know the things that you want out of life. You know where you want to go. You know the type of things that you want to spend your time doing. You know where your passions lie. And so I think writing out that list, that very personal list, sort of gets you in the mindset of the listful thinking type of mode, you know. And so you just write down all those hopes and dreams, everything. Even if money were no object, if you could do absolutely anything, if you didn't have this and you didn't have that in your way, just write all that down. I think that is a really great first list to make so that you just sort of get into that mode.
Excellent. I want to make sure people know where to find you, Paula. So the website is www.listfulthinkingbook.com. That'll take them right to more information about the book and other things that you have.
Yeah, and you can download a chapter of the book there as well if you'd like to take a look. And my blog is listproducer.com, and I put a new blog post up 3 times a week.
Yeah, I'm looking at listproducer.com right now. What a beautiful blog and some absolutely great tips that you have on it. So, yes, we will include that for our listeners. Do you have a favorite list that you make?
I make lists for everything. So one of the funnier lists that I made was, I work in television, as I've said, and so we have a lot of celebrities who come in and out of our building, and after a while it's sort of like not that big a deal, but of course there's the core, some of the celebrities who come in are like, whoa, I can't believe I just saw that person. And I was in the elevator with Gayle King one day, and I'm a huge Oprah fan, I love Gayle, so excited, and I got in the elevator with me and her and like some other people that she was with, and I just completely froze. I had nothing. I couldn't think of one thing to say. And I was just, I left so disappointed. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Why couldn't I think of something, anything? And so I came home and I made a list of all the things that you should say when you're starstruck. And, this what in case I run into a celebrity again, here's like some go-to things that I can just do off the top of my head. Like one is to, compliment their outfit or, ask them where they got those earrings or whatever, anything. And so I made this list so that if this ever happens again, I will be prepared because I couldn't believe it. I had nothing to say.
Thank you for sharing that. That's such a great one. Yeah, I many years ago was in an elevator with Warren Beatty, and also was like, "What can I say? What can I say? I don't know what to say.
That's so, it. And it's like, I'm sure they get it all the time, and you don't want to say the same thing everybody else says. And I didn't want to just yell out like, "I love Oprah," So it was.
Okay. Well, we're in our last 4 minutes here, and there's something you mentioned earlier about the bucket list, which I loved. What's one other small step that our listeners could take this week to bring the power of lists into their life?
Well, I think it's just really doing it, being able to first get everything out of your head. And that's like a huge stress reliever. You know, a lot of people stay up at night or they jump out of bed because they forgot to do this or forgot to do that, and a list would really alleviate that. And so I think just sitting down and, you know, taking your favorite notepad or even doing it on the computer or in an app or whatever and just go through everything. Like, don't prioritize it. Don't, you know, worry about mixing your list at first. Just write everything down. Just do a huge mind dump of everything that's weighing on you that you need to get done, that's not getting done, and that you don't want to forget. And just get it all out there and then leave it alone, and then you can go back to it, and then from there you'll rewrite the list and make it, you know, more actionable and take out, you know, the Mount Everest versus the milk, you know, from the list and all of these things, and you can organize it later. But I just think one of the best things to be able to do initially is to just get it out of your head, put it down on paper, and just, you know, relieve some stress that way.
What a great idea. And our final question is, a gem of wisdom you would like to leave our audience with, our audience of people who are on that journey to discover their passion and purpose in their life work?
I just think, you know, it's so hard to kind of listen to yourself sometimes, you know. And so for me, I never thought that I would be in the forefront, you know, because I'm always in the background. I'm always behind the scenes. Nobody knows that I've written these pieces for work, you know. And so I just thought, okay, well, that's who I am. That's what this is about. And I'm happy with it, and it's totally fine. So I just didn't see this. And then when it started to come about, I just didn't fight it. And so I said, you know what, let me just go with the flow and see what happens, you know. And now I'm the one speaking, and I'm the one in front of cameras and things like that. And it's just, it's not what I would have expected. But I think going with the flow, I mean, I'm like so not the go with the flow type person. Like, can you tell from my list making? And I just think in the times that I just like gave up on being so rigid and I just went with the flow, wonderful things happened, you know, and things that I couldn't have expected. So I think that's my gem of wisdom.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. I'm ready to make a list as soon as we finish this show today.
I am
inspired by you. Thank you for being with us today and sharing your list wisdom.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paula. This has been delightful.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a great conversation. I have a whole new appreciation for lists.
I do too. I found it inspiring, and I think it applies to all of us. Even if we have different styles and we use lists in different ways, we all want to, you know, get more of the things done that we care about. And in her book, she talks about too how lists can be a stress reliever. Like she said, kind of getting it all out of our head. Suddenly there's more room in us.
Exactly. There's more space. Yeah. So this was very exciting, and I'm ready to do some listful thinking.
I love it. Here too.
And we will be sending our drawing from our insider circle. We will be sending the winner from this week's drawing one of Paula's new book, Listful Thinking.
Perfect. And if you're not already on our Inside Circle list, where we do send out something, a gift or a book from our guests, that can be found at theonpurposeshow.com. And look forward to being here with you next week, Susan.
Yes, I look forward to being here with you. Have a great week.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on The On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.